My name is Ben Sanders. I lead the church here with my wife. She is helping out with our children in the children's classroom in the back. But we're really grateful that you're here. We've been in this space for about 3 years, and we're a fairly new church plant. So really glad that you're here and able to celebrate this Easter morning with us. The scripture that you heard Antoinette read this morning is actually where we're going to be picking up in our sermon this morning. So if you've got a Bible with you, go ahead and open it up to John's Gospel. And we're going to be looking in chapter 11. John's Gospel, chapter 11. There are extra Bibles there on the back table if you want to sneak a Bible and grab one. If I see you get one, that's awesome. Commend you. We are a Bible church. We will flip through the scriptures quite a bit this morning. So I'm glad you were snapping during the songs to get your hands ready. You need to warm up those muscles, all right? You with me? All right, so what I want you to focus on this morning there in John chapter 11, Antoinette read for us the passage that began there from verse 17 through 37. And, you know, when we look at this, when we're talking about Easter, the whole deal with Easter is about the resurrection. We can talk about the cross, we can talk about the death of Christ, but the reason we talk and we celebrate Easter is because we're talking about what is resurrection. And what is this audacious claim that the Bible makes that the Son of God both existed and was able to come back to life. You know, and a lot of people, when they even hear the word resurrection, they think about someone coming back to life. They've already instantly dismissed the thought. And it's fair. They've never seen it in their life, right? It's fair to think that way and have that thought. But what I want to do this morning, just to start off with, is I want you to see how unique Jesus is. He is not like every other religion. He is not like every other philosophy. Not just that his teachings are slightly different, but it's fundamentally different. Skip down to John 11 and look at his words there in verse 25. The Bible says there, Jesus speaks and he's talking to Martha as she had run out of the village, the town, to meet him because her brother had just passed away, Lazarus. And so she's desperate for answer and for truth and for help. And in verse 25, what Jesus says to her is, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. And then he asks her, do you believe this? He puts it to her. This morning, I want you to see that Jesus is unlike any other spiritual leader or guru that's out there. Do you see how incredibly bold the claim is that he makes right there? See, when you read legends and you read myths, you're going to read about characters and you're going to read about heroes. And oftentimes in those stories, the hero is supposed to sort of teach you some kind of moral truth, inspire you to be courageous, you know, help you maybe live a better life. And Jesus just brushes all that aside. He said, I'm not here to be your hero or inspire you to do this or even to teach you a moral lesson. He says, Martha, do you understand what I'm saying? I am telling you that I, Jesus Christ, am the resurrection. I don't represent it. I'm not a metaphor. This is not an allegory. I am the resurrection. You know, it's interesting through the Gospels, Jesus has this phrase where he uses the phrase I am in a bunch of different places. And all of the things that he says and all of the different places that he uses them, it's always pointing back to him saying he is the superior, the ultimate. He is the thing. It's not just about a hero's journey or some kind of legend or myth. Jesus says in other Gospels, he says, I am the bread of life. He says, not I don't teach you the truth. He says, I am the truth. He doesn't say, I'll show you the way. He says, I am the way. He doesn't say, I'll take you to or show you where the light is. He says, I am the light of the world. Do you see how bold his claims are? It leaves the listener, you have to make a decision about whether what Jesus is saying is actually true, or is he just sort of a nice teacher, inspiring guy with some really deep philosophical thoughts? Because people who aren't Christians still love the Bible in certain parts and aspects. But what I want you to see at the core of this story about the death of Lazarus, and we're going to look at his resurrection, is that Jesus says, Martha, do you understand who I am? She calls him teacher. He says, I'm Lord, because I am the resurrection. There is no life, there's no goodness, there's nothing else unless it comes from and through me. Jesus is the beginning and he's the end. But you know, when we're dealing with resurrection, there's a lot of questions, and that's okay. There's a lot of questions about what it is and what does it mean. But one of the things we can't do is we can't put Jesus in the same category as a lot of other religious leaders. The claims he made were too bold. They're too audacious, and they set him apart. And we have to think with our minds and use our thoughts to decide whether what he's saying, is it actually true? Are those claims actually true? Now, when we talk about how could we believe something like this, what are good reasons why Christians even believe that the resurrection actually existed, actually took place? You know, one of the things that's really struck me about the resurrection and the whole start of Christianity from this point in time is this quote, and it's my favorite quote regarding resurrection and Easter. The quote goes like this: the early Christians did not believe in the resurrection of Christ because they could not find his dead body. They believed because they did find a living Christ. Are you with me on the difference there? You see, lots of bodies go missing from morgues. That doesn't mean that I go to the assumption of, oh, well, that person must be totally alive, walking around doing their thing. If a body goes missing from a morgue, my instant thought is not, oh, they must have resurrected, right? That's kind of ridiculous. But what I'm wanting you to see in the scriptures, Martha and Mary got to see it with the raising of their brother Lazarus, but then the apostles and the disciples of the first century got to see it there right when Jesus himself resurrected. What caused their belief? Where did this Christianity movement come from and get going? Was it a political thing? Was it because they had smart, charismatic leaders who were able to get this thing going? No. The scripture records here and tells us that the reason why this thing got off the ground, the reason why Christianity became the largest movement in the history of the planet, political, religious, or anything, was because a group of people didn't just find an empty tomb, but Christ appeared to them in bodily form. Not a ghost, not a spirit, not a wishful thought, not some kind of hallucination. But Jesus Christ appeared in bodily form to them. And that is the Christian explanation as to why this whole thing even got off the ground. I mean, when you think about Christian history, everything was against it. The Jews were against it, and it came out of the Jewish faith. The Romans were against it. And other religions were existing at the time that were indifferent to it. But the thing is for Christians, we put our faith in Jesus' resurrection because we point to eyewitnesses from the scriptures that say, God, through his son, appeared to me. And, you know, sometimes you think, well, there's those whack jobs out there, and they, you know, have these personal experiences with God one-on-one, and they say someone or something appeared to them. You know, there's a record in the Bible here that talks about Jesus appearing to several hundred people. So we're not talking about someone who has like one unstable mind and then they were persuaded that they had a vision. The Bible's saying that in multiple places, Jesus appeared in bodily form to groups of people, which puts aside the explanation of, oh, well, it wasn't really happening because it was just that person's imagination. Groups of people don't have the same imagination. There's good reasons to consider whether the resurrection actually happened, even though we know in our experience we've never seen anyone come back from the dead. But one of the craziest things that Jesus says to sort of make this and drive it home, and it's another one of his incredible claims, look at John chapter 3 for a minute. Turn over to a little bit earlier part of John's gospel, John chapter 3. You know, the apostles aren't the only people who were eyewitnesses to this resurrection and Jesus' miraculous powers. But Jesus himself also claims to be a witness, and this is really interesting. Look at John chapter 3, starting in verse 10. Starting in verse 10. He's talking to Nicodemus, who is supposedly a PhD lawyer, who is a teacher of teachers. He's one of the smartest guys in the country. And he's talking to him in secret and in private. And in verse 10, the Bible says, "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus. "And do you not understand these things? I tell you the truth. We speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen. But still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man." Jesus, talking to a teacher of teachers, says, "I myself have been to the afterlife, the life beyond, and come back already." You guys ever thought about going on a vacation? And you're trying to find out information, you're trying to research because you want to go to the best place for the best price, right? And so you either surf the web, you talk to people, you ask around, and what are the answers that you hear? Some people will tell you, "Oh, well, I heard somebody went there, they said it was nice or it wasn't." Or you're on the internet and you find pictures of the place. Or you find a postcard at a travel bureau or whatever people do nowadays. Jesus says, "I've been there. I've been to the life beyond because that's where I came from." He says, "I was with the Father before. So I've already been to that side of life, to the spiritual side of life. I've come to earth. I've entered humankind's history right now, but I'm going to go back." And so when he's talking with Nicodemus, Nicodemus is, you know, confused. And Jesus is saying, "Who will you trust when you get spiritual advice? Will you listen to Jesus who says, 'I've actually been there and back'?